As I told you, we're beginning a new sermon series this week. We're calling it Legacy. What legacy are we leaving for the next generation and the next generation? We want to look at how Scripture teaches us to love all of creation. What does it mean to be a steward of the earth? On the surface, I'm sure it seems pretty basic. You may be saying, I know this. I know this. Pick up your trash, recycle, don't use too much water, all the important things we already know. But for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about the question of why we are called to do these things. Why should we care? You know, caring for the earth is an actual calling from God. The scripture that we're using today is Genesis 1. It's the story of creation. In just a moment, you're going to hear it read by some people who are all a part of our church. As you listen to the scripture, I want you to remember Genesis 1, this first creation story. It's a form of biblical liturgical literature. That's a lot of words, but what that means is it's similar to a hymn or a creed or words that are shared in worship. Here's what it's not. Genesis 1 is not a science lesson. It is not a treatise on cosmology. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I heard someone making fun of Genesis 1. She spoke of how unscientific it was. She was frustrated by the words in it that the man gave birth to the woman. Now, she has every right to her opinion, but it's important to understand what you're reading, what you're going to listen to. One does not properly analyze the poetry of Amanda Gorman or a song by Ed Sheeran by critiquing the imagery they use as statements of fact or data. The same with Genesis 1. Genesis 1 declares that God is the creator of the world and that creation is a good and beautiful gift from God. It declares that we, that you and I, are made in the image of God. It is not meant to teach science. It is meant to be a strong theological statement about God and an important affirmation of God's will for humanity. All of that is in there. I invite you to listen as it's read. I want you to listen for how we are created in the image of this very good God. Listen as if you're being given a gift, because that's what it is. The translation that you're going to hear is called the Shochan translation. It's a scholarly translation done by a Jewish theologian, a professor named Everett Fox, and he boiled it down. It's quite true to the original meaning of the Hebrew. It's closer than a lot of the ones that you and I have heard. So listen to this.
At the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth, when the earth was wild and waste, darkness over the face of ocean, rushing spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was setting, there was dawning. One day, God said, "Let there be a dome amid the waters, and let it separate waters from waters." God made the dome and separated the waters that were below the dome from the waters that were above the dome. It was so. God called the dome heaven. There was setting, there was dawning. Second day.
God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered to one place, and let the dry land be seen." It was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth sprout forth with sprouting growth plants that seed forth seeds, fruit trees that yield fruit after their kind, and in which is their seed upon the earth." It was so. The earth brought forth sprouting growth plants that seed forth seeds after their kind, trees that yield fruit in which is their seed after their kind. God saw that it was good. There was a setting. There was dawning. Third day.
God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the heavens to separate the day from the night, that they may be signs for set times, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the dome of the heavens, to provide light upon the earth." It was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light for ruling the day and the smaller light for ruling the night and the stars.
God placed them in the dome of the heavens to provide light upon the earth, to rule the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. There was setting, there was dawning, fourth day. God said, let the water swarm with a swarm of living beings, and let fowl fly from the earth across the dome of the heavens. God created the great sea serpents and all living beings that crawl about, with which the water swarmed, after their kind, all winged fowl after their kind. God saw that it was good.
And God blessed them, saying, bear fruit, and be many, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl be many on earth. There was setting, there was dawning, fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth living beings after their kind, herd animals, crawling things, and the wildlife of the earth after their kind. It was so. God made the wildlife of the earth after their kind, and the herd animals after their kind, and all crawling things of the soil after their kind. God saw that it was good. God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the heavens, animals, all the earth, and all crawling things that crawl about upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God did he create it. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, bear fruit and be many, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the heavens, and all living things that crawl about upon the earth.
God said, here I give you all plants that bear seeds, that are upon the face of all the earth, and all trees in which there is tree fruit that bear seeds, for you shall there be for eating, and also for all the living things of the earth, for all the fowl of the heavens, for all that crawls about upon the earth in which there is living being, all green plants for eating. It was so. Now God saw all that he had made, and here it was exceedingly good. There was setting, there was dawning, the sixth day.
Did you hear it? It was good. It was good. This is the truth that Genesis 1 is teaching us. Science teaches us one aspect of truth that is data-driven, and that's important. The Bible teaches us another aspect of truth, and that's theological. Genesis 1 teaches us truth about God and about humanity and what it means to live in relationship with God. One of the big truths in Genesis 1 is that we and all of creation were created in goodness. So I want you to notice where it all started. At the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth, when the earth was wild and waste. Wild and waste. I love those words. I love this interpretation. It invokes this image of desolation and darkness and lawlessness. There was no order. There were no inhabitants. There was nothing, nothing but chaos. And the chaos was reinforced by the image of darkness that was around it. Yet in the midst of the dark waters of this chaos, God was present, the rushing spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. There's a Hebrew word for this. Some of you have heard it before. It's called ruach. Ruach, you got to get it in your throat. It means the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, waiting and ready to bring order. It tells us that God wasn't just creating the earth on a whim, but with a purpose in mind. It took time to create the world, and every step of creation brings more order and moves the earth closer to God's desire for relationship. God didn't just create and disengage. God created because God wanted relationship. God wanted to share creation with us. So, you know, God begins with night and day and light and dark. Then God fills the uninhabited wasteland with creatures and plants and on until finally God creates humans in God's image and gives them dominion over all the order of creation. Listen again to what the translation says. It says, God blessed them, and God said to them, bear fruit and be many, fill the earth and subdue it. That's the translation, but here's the problem. Subdue to us feels harsh and overbearing. You have to take into account the different times that we live in, because it's easy for us to read the word as to work hard, have children, and control the earth. We are big on control. But what if instead we think about it this way? Creation is a sacred gift to us from God. God blesses us with creation. That's what it says in the beginning. God blessed them. Here's a little word study. The word bless, barak, in Hebrew is related to the word knee, which is barak. They're a related word, which means to kneel. The idea that the scholars get from this in Genesis is that when God blessed us with creation, God was offering us a partnership to be stewards of creation. When we try to bless God, we literally go on our knees and we offer ourselves and creation back to God. It's a give and take. God was gifting us with something to care for alongside of God. We partner with God. Partnership means we respect the order of nature. We recognize the sacredness of all of creation. Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy to see the beauty and the sacredness of creation when you look at pictures like Becky showed us. But it's a lot harder when you regularly walk concrete sidewalks and the blacktops of our lives. The truth is, many of us live in an area that is more city than country. We go to and from work, we're rushing around, we don't always see nature around us. Yet God calls us to be aware of creation in all of the moments of our lives. Creation is our responsibility. That's what the scripture writer is trying to relate to us. God is giving it to us to steward. When I was a little girl, I attended Sunday school in North Canton, Ohio at Northminster Presbyterian Church. And that's where I learned the story of creation. And my teacher, Mr. Ebinger, used a flannel board. Flannel boards were big when I was a little girl. Frankly, they're still quite helpful. And Mr. Ebinger, he would start with this big black flannel stand, and then he would start to add the pieces. And it would sit beside him, and he would have all the pieces. And first, he had this piece that he would slap up there, and it was a piece of chaotic waters. And it was just black and swirly with a little bit of blue in it. But then over top of that, he would put on this big yellow light. And that represented light coming to creation. And then with a flourish, he would take that off. And then he would put up a big sun and moon and stars all around it. And I was fascinated by this. Each element that he added was mesmerizing to me. I felt like I was watching creation happen. And then when he gets to the part where it said, "Let the dry land be seen," and it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and Mr. Ebinger would reach and he would put this big rock island on the board. And you could sense he was getting very excited. And then from behind the flannel board, he pulled out a big box of rocks. Yes, rocks, lots of rocks. Did I happen to tell you Mr. Ebinger was a geologist? He was also an earth science teacher. When he talked about creation, he loved the part where God created the earth. He would have rewritten it to say, "God called the dry land rocks." I mean, this was a man who loved his rocks. He showed us igneous rocks, sedimentary rocks, metamorphic rocks. He told us about caves and volcanoes, rocky coasts, mountain deserts. He was passionate about rocks. He loved rocks. And then he would say something like this. I don't remember exactly, but it was something like this. "Boys and girls, rocks tell us the story of creation. In a rock, you can read history and science. They tell us when the earth was formed and when disaster happened. Rocks remind us that we do not control the earth. But they also tell us that our God is a miracle worker. Because God gave us this amazing earth, and it is good." Mr. Ebinger went on to tell us that we needed to take care of the earth, that it was our job to pick up trash, to turn out the lights when we left a room, to not leave water running. He was my first exposure to environmental responsibility, and I was all for it. The joy, faith, and facts of this scientist connected dots from the Bible to what I could do to steward God's creation. Honestly, he taught me about being in partnership with God. I couldn't have put it into those words as a child. But he invited me to enter the blessedness of the gift of creation and our responsibility to bless the earth. Now, here's what we know. We've made a mess of it. We could talk about the misuse of chemicals, the plethora of plastics, the need for better emissions. It's all true, and it's very important, and we know it. But what I really want to say today is this. We have been blessed with a gift of creation, and we are called to be in partnership with God to take care of it. So I want to give you three things to do. I'm asking you. I'm challenging you. First of all, notice. Notice the world around you. When you go outside to drive to work or to school or to run errands, look up at the sky. Be reminded of your smallness and thank God. Look for the little bugs and butterflies. Be reminded of the intricacy of our world. Take a break in the day. Walk outside. Be reminded of the larger world, not just the world around your desk and your computer or in your kitchen. Notice. And then the other thing I want you to do is pay attention. And specifically, pay attention to our own consumerism. It's a little frightening when I pay attention to my own, but I've been trying to do that. You know, I noticed a young couple who always shows up with bamboo utensils when they go to eat with their life group, or I've had lunch with them here at the church. They bring their own utensils, bamboo utensils, to not use plastic ones. They're paying attention. A dad I know is teaching his elementary age kids to take a trash bag on their walks. And he's teaching them safe ways to pick up trash, because quite honestly, you don't want to tell children, just go pick up the trash. You want to teach them about gloves and safety. But he's teaching them to pay attention. I know about this because the other day I watched a man, he was walking into our building. I had parked a ways away, and he was walking in, and he just kept stopping and picking up things. And I realized he's picking up small pieces of trash in our parking lot. Now, we don't have a lot of trash. But it's partly because people pick it up. He's paying attention. Can we join them in what they are doing to care for the planet? That's what it means to be in partnership. Maybe it's time we make some changes as our church community. We are taking a very big step of not having paper bulletins for people that come to the building for worship. This is a big change for us. And it might sound silly, but it's a lot. It's having people relearn things. It means figuring out, how do we share information? How do we gather information in a different way? How do we let go of a long habit that we've had and learn to do things differently? But it's better for our environment than the hundreds of bulletins that used to be put in the trash each week. And you're going to say, but we recycled them. And yes, we do, but there's still the ink on the page. It's better not to have it. So we're going to figure that out. There probably are some other big things that we could do too. Here's the last thing I want to ask you to do. Pray. Pray. Thank God for the beauty of the earth and the glory of the skies. Ask God to help you bless creation. Ask God, how can we be in partnership together? Pray and ask God about all of that. And when you say amen at the end of your prayer, you know, amen means so be it. So you're kind of saying, so be it, God, I'm going to do this. There's so much we can do. There's so much beauty in the world. There is a legacy that we can leave. It is both the legacy of the beauty of the world, and it is the legacy of teaching those that come that they can be in partnership with a God who created all things good. Amen.